gone from the jersey picture, but still in our hearts. It's That's So MLS, a North American soccer podcast with myself, Andrew Bates, and Nick Thornton.
That's me. I don't know if I got that one. That was kind of cerebral. Is it just me? It's the end of the day.
No, it's the Tim Parker thing. It is. We are on trade watch 2018 for Tim Parker.
Sorry. We're on Parker Watch 2018. I forgot already.
Oh, well, maybe I said jersey photo. Maybe jersey photo was not as the promo pick. Promo pick.
Okay. Well, it's all right. Whatever. I made you explain your joke to people, so that always makes things funnier, right?
Yeah, no, that's the best. That's the best part of jokes is when you get to explain why they're funny.
I think so. Well, somebody who didn't get it is like, oh wait, do you mean? Yeah, sorry, buddy.
In this case, it's because Whitecaps defender Tim Parker is reportedly seeking a trade due to contract issues that he's having with the team. It looked pretty grim because the Whitecaps signed another defender and also edited him out of their Unity jersey promo picture.
It's been very weird. I don't know why the Whitecaps can't ever just do something normally. I don't know that there's much more that we can say about this trade that lots of others haven't already said, but the way that it's been handled is kind of bizarre, because now he's back in all the pictures, and as of yesterday, Paul Robinson was talking about how there's still a way that Tim Parker stays. I don't know if that's just talking things up and trying to make him look like he's valued and so they can get top dollar for him, but it's just been a little bizarre. Carl Robinson, of course, being very diplomatic and saying he's got a good relationship with Tim and, you know, there's no issue, just the small issue of him not wanting to play for your club anymore.
Yes. I think that, and also, as of when we are recording on Thursday night, 3 hours ago, somebody tweeted that those talks are back on to trade him to New York. So this could happen during the course of our podcast. So we've decided, we had a whole season review plan, but we threw it all out the window for Trade Center.
We're just going to wait and talk about Tim Parker. Maybe we should do our favorite Tim Parker memories while, playing some montage music.
Well, I did meet his dad in the stands away at Montreal when he drove up. He's a good dude.
Yeah, no, everyone loves Tim Parker. I don't really blame him, and I don't really see the issue. I think I get it from the perspective of the amount of money that he was asking for. I think he's valuing himself quite high. And I do think, you know, in order for MLS to grow, people have to start paying domestic players a little bit more. To keep that talent in the league and to keep people hungry for staying in the league. But, you know, Tim Parker's from New York. The New York trade has kind of been the only one with the rumor with legs for most of this. So it does make sense. Of course, the conversation is, does Vancouver get New York midfielder Philippe? And if so, what type of money is attached to that, etc.? We're going to have to trade some magical fairy space money back and forth, probably. But as much as it's a shame to see so many crowd favorites go from Vancouver, I don't think if Vancouver can get the right price and maybe a player from New York, I think it's a fair deal. And ultimately, you want players playing for your club that want to be there.
Is anything else happening in the next week, or is that it?
I think that's it. We're just Tim Parker. Man, that's a short show. 4 minutes. That's our fastest one. I don't know, guys. Of course there is. Of course there is. We've got, of course, opening games starting on Saturday.
Thank you, anyone who did click on this for season preview and sat through 4 minutes of very detailed, very esoteric trade talk.
Well, it's funny,
but we're going to try and have something for you.
We are. We were talking earlier about wanting to have something for possibly new to MLS fans. Or folks who are tuning into maybe more teams this year, and immediately we set people off with some homework, madly Googling, who is Tim Parker?
Yeah, I'm really excited after weeks of silly season and a semi-competitive week or two of the CONCACAF Champions League.
Indeed.
We are back. The league has resumed. Does it feel like it's been gone that long? Do you, it feels like just yesterday?
In a way, it does. it feels like it's been a while. At the same time, as a season's ticket holder, so much of your year revolves around games that, and especially last year, especially the last 4 months doing this podcast, watching just about every single game that was played or parts of it, it sort of does feel like it was yesterday, but I'm ready. My preseason is complete. I wouldn't exactly say I'm match fit. The jersey's a little tight on me, but I'm going to work on it. You know, I just need to go a few full 90 minutes and I'll be there. What about for you?
I feel like I was pretty ready. Had a very bumpy but successful cup fixture the week before. Like 0-0 on penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, that's kind of coloring the opening weekend, and that, like, it's 4 days ago, but I'm feeling pretty ready for the new season.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is that you do sort of remember, the first few weeks of any, league is really kind of, it doesn't mean too much, right? I mean, you're getting a look at your team, but as we know in MLS, clubs go through different bits of form, there's a lot of travel involved, so... You know, if your team loses the first 5 games of the season, it's not necessarily an indicator of things to come. But, of course, every team wants to go see their team at home come out of the gates flying.
And since maybe some people have not been scared off by this intro that are new to the podcast, so you mentioned that you are a season ticket holder. How do you get here? What is your path to the game, as it were?
To soccer in general or to MLS?
To soccer and to MLS. Like, what has got you to being a fan of the league?
Great question. The short story is I used to work with an English guy for many years, and he's just always asking me about soccer, and finally I just gave in and decided to actually watch some soccer, and arbitrarily picked Arsenal because it was one of the first matches I saw that I actually paid attention to, and I really liked the way they played. At the time, that was still the glory days of Fabregas. So I tuned into Arsenal basically the last year that they were good, and fell in love with being an aggrieved fan. Is that a word? An Arsenal fan. Shortly thereafter, moved to Vancouver, and I moved to Vancouver the year Vancouver Whitecaps joined MLS. And, you know, I thought, okay, great, I'll go see a couple of games. And as I watched more soccer, as I started playing soccer, I like the underdog story. I found a lot of European soccer kind of non-competitive. It's great for highlight reels, but there's really usually two or three teams that take it. The thing that's always drawn me to MLS is it's anybody's game, and especially over the last 3 years, every year just seeing how much the quality grows. And we really saw that last year with, obviously, Toronto's runaway season, but teams like Atlanta coming in and just really performing for an expansion side is kind of unheard of. So that's my story. How did you get into the game? Which I actually don't know this either.
Well, I was very interested... through high school in English football, Tottenham Hotspur fan, and
no one's perfect. It's fine.
I understand. And through the internet forums that I was a part of, it was clear that like what you should do is you should also support your national team. So I was supporting the Canadian. So I like was watching the Canadian team through the 2007 or I think it was the 2009 Gold Cup. Atiba was onside.
You and four people still remember that. Atiba Hutchinson isn't one of them.
Essentially, at the time that Vancouver was announced for their MLS franchise, I decided to start paying attention. Well, basically, when Toronto got into the league is when I started like paying attention because I knew that it was going to be a big part of the Canadian game. And when Vancouver got their franchise, I started following the USL Whitecaps, which led over the course of a season to me going to Swangard Stadium for spring break at the time that Montreal was playing in the Canadian Championship. Mm-hmm. Getting way too many beers and missing my first professional goal because I was running to the outhouses.
Hey, that's my trick for getting teams to score. Many a Whitecaps goal has come at my expense going to the bathroom. I actually, towards the end of last season, I'd be like, all right, I can't stand this. I'm going to the bathroom. But
that's,
you know, 80% of the time it would work.
I had such a good time with the supporters, and afterwards I went to the supporters pub with them all that I stuck around for the next weekend, which was the Toronto game in that year's Canadian Championship where the Whitecaps beat them and looked to be on track to make it to the CONCACAF Championship until Toronto beat Montreal 5-1.
Yeah.
In a infamous game. Mm-hmm. But that was the heady mix. I'd been following them throughout that year, but that was the heady mix of kind of ecstasy and tragedy.
Yeah.
That really, there's nothing else you could do after that point.
Sure.
And I'm also a journalist, so once I currently work at the Telegraph Journal in St. John, New Brunswick, and I had at one point, I am still semi-regularly posting to a soccer blog called, or not semi-regularly, occasionally posted to a soccer blog called Little Rubber Ballots, where I once worked out of the Whitecaps press box.
Nice. One of the other things that's always drawn me to MLS, and I think it's still somewhat true, I think it's changing, but that's okay, is that because it was a relatively small and new league, and the fan base was smaller than a lot of other soccer, is you had a lot more access to teams and to players. And as a fan, it felt like you could actually have, not like a relationship necessarily, but you felt like there was a little bit more intimacy there between being a fan of a team and them sort of recognizing it. And again, it's changed because there's a lot of bigger names in MLS now. But I sort of liked that you could run into players and say hello and they'd have a chat, and a lot of them still will. And that there's a... I think it's true of soccer in general. I just think there's a bit more of a closeness there. There's fewer barriers between fans and players, and that's something I've always appreciated. You know, I've just bumped into James Demerit any number of times over the years, and he's always willing to kind of give you his ear. And if you're like, Jay, what do you think of the lineup? What's Russell Tybert going to do? He'll give you the time of day and actually talk about it. And I think that's really cool, and it also makes it easier to be a fan of a sometimes frustrating sport or sometimes frustrating league when you have that personal connection to something. And it's not just about going and being in a crowd and watching goals, but it's actually about developing some sort of relationship with the players.
I think that it's everything from the positioning of the league in terms of its size as a small, like as a growing league. And also, like, I think that the way that supporters culture works and supporters clubs work, give people an actual job to do.
Yeah.
Which helps, you know what I mean? Like if you want if you have the knack for volunteerism and you want to get involved in a nonprofit organization, that opportunity is very available to you in soccer. But also just somebody will put a flag in your hand and a sheet with words you should yell at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a different experience than just sort of like, you know, deciding if you – having a game happen at you and deciding if you like it. I think that the way that I always put it is like this, is that big English Premier League teams, NHL teams, certainly the larger North American League teams, you can love them, and there are huge teams that are adored the world over, but very rarely will you get tangible evidence that they love you back specifically.
Yeah.
Like very rarely will you have that moment where you, like, some people, I mean, they're pretty good at it in BC, but some people may go their whole lives without never ever meeting a Vancouver Canuck, you know,
sure,
and watch every game.
Yeah.
Some people, and that's especially true if you're an overseas fan of the Premier League. So I'm not telling people to turn away from their previous leagues. The nice thing about sports is that you can support more than one team. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about soccer is that if you have one team in Europe that plays fall to spring, and you have one team that plays spring to fall, you can watch soccer all the time.
It's great. People who follow a European league and MLS, you're never without soccer.
It's a charmed life.
And if you're like me, when your team starts to really crash and burn in the Premier League, your other team is just starting up, so you don't need to worry as much anymore that you've lost to Manchester City twice in 3 days. yeah. So let's do this then. We talked about going through the league team by team, and we're just going to kind of do a quick rundown for folks. Even if you're already a fan of the league and you're a diehard supporter of a club, a lot of people, I know a lot of MLS fans, don't necessarily follow other teams and don't necessarily know a lot about them. And that's one of the reasons why we even started doing this podcast, was to get a better sense of the other teams in the league. So let's do that. And we're going to kind of give a Cole's Notes version of this team and a very brief and probably somewhat improvised opinion about whether or not you should follow this team. See?
That works for me.
Cool.
Do we want to do it alphabetically, or do we want to start with the Canadian sides, or by conference?
Conference sounds complicated. I want to do alphabetical because it's right at the top of my MLSsoccer.com page that's open.
I've
been called lazy in my time. So
let's do it.
The first team, of course, is Atlanta United FC, new to the league last year. I've said lots about Atlanta. We both have in the previous season, I guess, of this podcast, if you can call it that. What's your assessment of Atlanta United this season going in? Should we like them? Should we not like them?
So last year, they had their inaugural campaign. Completely blew away everyone's expectations again. Mm-hmm. of what can be expected, of what is a reasonable amount of people to expect to show up. You get a team or two per expansion class, and occasionally it's been happening basically since Seattle that you think that this is where the level is, or you think that Seattle's an exception, wherever else. But while Atlanta were waiting for the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, in which not this year's Super Bowl, but the previous one was played, mm-hmm. While they were waiting, they were filling 40,000 seat stadiums, and then they graduated to being able to put 50,000 and ultimately break the attendance record with 70,000 people in their arena.
Yeah, which is, even by itself, is an absolutely incredible feat. Even if they were shit.
They weren't.
No,
they had a team that was able. They had a coach that was able to put together a side of sort of underappreciated international youth players. I think that are not always youth players, but they're
younger.
The key, isn't it Almiron that's being, Miguel Almiron that's now being scouted by Europe?
I'm amazed that he stayed. I think that speaks hugely to the team that he's still there. But Julian Gressel as well, we saw. Vialba's not that old either, I don't believe, or Martinez. I think they're a younger side for sure.
They have a key. We are... because of our position as Canadians, there are a lot of general MLS podcasts that are from the American perspective and put a lot of stake in the U.S. men's national team. We are not necessarily out here to do that, but we understand it's an American league and those stars are significant players. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta have a great goalkeeper in Brad Guzan.
They sure do.
Who plays for Middlesbrough. They have their captain is the stalwart Michael Parkhurst, who's always good to see in whatever MLS franchise he is present. And they've added Darlington Nagbe in what I think is their highest impact trade of the offseason.
Okay, so that ultimately is probably a good point then to ask the question. Should we like Atlanta United?
I think we should like Atlanta United. I think that they offer the combination of hope that has never before. They lost in the playoffs last year, but they looked great doing it. It has never before been. It was clear last year that they lost to Columbus, and they were not necessarily at the point where they were punching above their weight, but you know, if you make the playoffs in the first year, it's wonderful, and you have the chance to come back the next year and then win your first playoff game. So there's everything is ahead of this franchise at this point. There's been no huge potential squandering defeat. Everything is bright. It's an attacking team, and there's a lot of good things ahead of it.
Yeah. They're a fantastic side. Very fun to watch. They've got a great back line. They're a very attacking team as well, you said. For me, the big question mark is Nagbe. Can he be the connector? Atlanta runs a very different system than Portland, I think. I would say overall, if you're new to MLS or you just need another team to sort of follow, I think follow Atlanta United for no other reason than this is what the future of MLS looks like. This is what teams in the MLS need to play like in order to win. And, you know, particularly thinking about Nashville and Miami, if you're a fan of those teams, you should be watching Atlanta United and lobbying your ownership for a similar kind of approach, if not necessarily in the massive amounts of money that are spent, certainly in the approach to build excitement around a club and play an attacking, exciting, fast-paced type of soccer, which is really what MLS is becoming.
Chicago. How do you feel about Chicago? What is your...
My kind of town.
What do you think of It's Fire?
You know what? This is a bit of a question mark for me. They have the Golden Boot winner, Nikolic, on their side, which is a boon for them. But they really struggled last year to make much of an impact in the postseason. They've re-secured Schweinsteiger. Well, that remains to be seen how much impact on the field he'll have. But obviously, just the fact that he is there, I think really improved the pride and the energy around the club in a time when they really desperately needed it. Yesterday they added Tony Chiani from the Whitecaps. We'll see what he does there. Should we like them? Nikolic, when he's on, it's beautiful to see a consistent goal scorer. He's not necessarily flashy. He's kind of an old school striker, but he gets into spaces and just, he's a poacher. Are they an exciting team to watch? Is it a team that I'd recommend you watch over another matchup? I think that kind of remains to be seen this season. They're one of the original clubs in MLS, so they've got the history there. We'll see, but at this point I'd kind of say don't just be suckered in by Nikolic and Schweinsteiger. They've got a lot of building to do, and just your
they
personnel
are,
doesn't necessarily equal results.
They are one of the story franchises in MLS. They debuted as an expansion side, the first expansion side in the first wave expansion, I think, in 1998, and won the title that year, and then hung up the boots.
They've had a bit of a rough go.
They last year was a real turnaround season for them, just because they did not. They had a very poor year 2 years ago, and they had started off the same year, and this big acquisition of Germany midfielder legend Bastian Schweinsteiger was not. He was definitely not the team's best player. It probably was not second.
No, I agree. I agree.
And however, his presence, the And also, Schweinsteiger was having an awful year at Manchester United before he joined as well, because he wasn't even in training.
Yeah.
But a for whatever reason, the combination of Schweinsteiger with the Chicago Fire lit a competitive fire under both. And they did well. I feel like they maybe, as much as I do say it was a turnaround, could have done a little bit better in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing things correct right now. Things are looking up. And if you, especially if you lived in the area or you wanted somebody that, a team that had a little history to get behind that is interesting right now, you could definitely do worse than Chicago.
Yeah. One thing I will say is, and I think it comes across even on television, unfortunately, stadium, not a lot of atmosphere. Especially when their team is losing, it seems like it's possibly just because it's outdoor and, you know, it's not a huge amount of seating, but I found atmosphere of Chicago Fire games kind of lacking at home. And now every Chicago Fire season holder fan will come after me for saying that. But.
The Chicago Fire, like some of the other teams on this list, have come through a strange period of American soccer to get to where we are now.
Yeah.
Which is the teams were playing out of NFL stadiums. It looked awful. They looked empty. The atmosphere was garbage. The new mantra became that you had to get a soccer-specific stadium because that was the only way to generate true atmosphere. And so many teams got them. Because of the challenge in building a stadium all to yourself, many teams got them in the suburbs. And now you have a lot of teams that are playing out of shared facilities with football teams downtown.
Yeah.
And it's everybody that is rooted to their own leases in the suburbs that is having a slightly more significant challenge.
That's fair context to give. So should we like Chicago Fire? Should we follow them?
Yes. I would say yes. If you're interested, if you were interested in Germany over the two World Cup wins that they've had in the last 20 years, and you would like to follow him through Bastian Schweinsteiger through his future exploits, this is a great team for you.
Okay. So speaking of teams that have had a rough go of it, that takes us to everybody's favorite, Colorado Rapids.
Yes, the Rapids are an interesting case.
Don't sound so excited.
The Rapids are an interesting case because I think until last year, when they had a very awful year, did they win the wooden spoon awarded to the last place MLS team?
I believe so.
Or was that they had a really poor year, which is super surprising because, no, actually, they placed second from the bottom. It was L.A. Or third from the bottom, even. Two teams below them. It has been a really confusing time for Colorado because I always thought of them as a mid-table okay team. But they had a really awful year last year while having one of the best... one of the greatest players in the American player pool today, Tim Howard, their goalkeeper, who may not be living up to that. I mean, over the course of their career American players that are other than Landon Donovan and down in Mexico that are playing right now.
Ooh, you backtrack from that comment quickly.
Yeah, I'm going to hedge it completely, but Tim Howard is a player that has had a fantastic career everywhere except his current return to Colorado.
Yeah, and in fairness to all goalkeepers, it's also about who's in front of you, and Colorado's just been really inconsistent. For me, I'm just looking through the roster because I'm like, I haven't really heard too much about their moves in the offseason, and as we talked about last year, they've got some great players and some real up-and-coming talent. That being said, I'm looking through the roster and the trades they've made, and I kind of see more of the same. Like, they've kept most of the core of the team, and they've added a few kind of nobodies, which we know in MLS can be nobodies from really great places who are just underappreciated and turned out to do really well in MLS, but I'm not seeing much on this roster that makes me believe that this season is going to be much different for them. And to me, it's kind of an underwhelming offseason and look at things. I'd like to see them do a little better. They've added some talent and kept some talent. But should you be a Colorado Rapids fan? Only if you really like an underdog story. And I would love for the Rapids to prove me wrong this season, but I feel like their major offensive threat right now is the fact that at home, people have to travel basically into the sky to play them. And the elevation is really their best defense at this point.
It's hard. When you looked at the last two games, Colorado just played Toronto in the CONCACAF Champions League. And I got to say that the backup keeper, Zach McMath, looked a fair sight more able to handle Toronto than Tim Howard did. I would say that if you wanted to find a bright point, you would look at the forward line of Jack McBean and Dominic Badji. Who create a lot of chances whenever they're on the ball. If you are a neutral and you have no specific reason to be supporting Colorado other than you are an Arsenal fan and you would like to see a fellow Stan Kroenke owned team manage its decisions, and you would like to stick through that, I would say give this one a pass because it's a rebuilding time and it's tough to see. They are one of the charter MLS teams. They've have one title in 2010.
Yeah,
to their names, and they were the former home of Connor Casey, one of the many bald U.S. men's national team players.
You know, I hated Connor Casey when he was in the league, and now I kind of miss him. I miss the days of MLS players who very clearly grew up playing football or rugby and just somehow made the grade for MLS and never would again. But I sort of like I feel bad now for so lambasting Connor Casey because I don't ever think I give him enough credit. But I agree. It's a rebuilding year. They've got some great talent. Stefan Aigner, I think I'm saying that right,
is yes.
A great player. Gashi, we know he's excellent as well. Hairston has his moments. Jack McBean as well that you mentioned. But really, it's hard to think that this team is going to have much more success this season than it did last season. So unless you want the slow burn, which clearly all sports fans do, I'd say give this one a pass.
Speaking of a slow burn,
mm-hmm.
The next team on our list... it's located in the Western Conference. It is the Columbus Crew.
Mm-hmm.
The slow burn in this case is not a slow burn rebuild, but the slow burning of the team to the ground, unfortunately, which we here at That's MLS hate because essentially midway through last season, the story broke that its owner is interested in moving the team to Austin, and the league appears ready to allow him to do so. This is all apparently a contingent on Columbus not being able to provide a workable new stadium.
Yep.
But there's been lots of contention around that point. But Anthony Precourt is in advanced talks to move it, and in the team's supporters are working so hard to keep it. They're on the Save the Crew train, and we don't want to see them go. They are one of the charter MLS teams.
Yeah,
but it's a rough year to be hometown captain Will Trapp, isn't it?
It really is. So. I think maybe I'll start this with saying, yes, you should absolutely follow and support Columbus Crew. I think they're also a great team, even despite the history, despite what's going on. I think they're a fun team to watch. They're not always consistent, but with players like Abubakar, Afoul, Higuain, obviously. They always manage to pull something together and grind out results, maybe sometimes where they shouldn't, and they have fantastic support around them. And they're one of those original clubs, and their stadium is aging, but they are one of those teams that, despite that, it's always loud. It seems like it's a really difficult place for other teams to play. And, you know, when it's on for them. The thing that I will say about them this season is it is possibly their last season in MLS. Obviously, we hope that's not the case. They've parted ways, I think partly because of the up-in-the-air-ness of the team, with a number of key players. But they have also brought in Gyasi Zardes from... Is it Gyasi or Gyasi? I hear both.
I'm fine with Gyasi until I hear differently. All right.
We'll just say Zardes from LA Galaxy.
Zardes!
Who had a terrible season last year with LA Galaxy, but so did literally every other person that stepped foot anywhere near that field.
I think that a change of scenery, especially to a team like you say that has a lot of support in the way that it plays, compared to LA, which I think relied a lot on a single striker to produce.
Yeah,
and it created some real confidence issues. A team that is more willing to support its attacking players and willing to maybe be more supportive emotionally than LA coach Siggy Smith was to Gyasi Zardes.
Absolutely.
Will really help him.
And I say, too, he's looked good in preseason. I think Colorado. Columbus has sort of picked up where they left off. They had an okay season. Obviously, the uncertainty around the club isn't helping anything. But I appreciate the professionalism of the players and of the fans to just turn out and support the team. And, you know, if you're going to win your cause for keeping a team in a city, it's to grind out results and make it clear that there is support there and that possibly there's even a future. So absolutely people should follow Columbus Crew, and not just because of the sort of side story and because it's probably morally the right thing to do. Is they're a fun team to watch. I don't think they quite get enough credit. I thought they had a good season last year that kind of went overlooked by, you know, for lots of reasons. But yeah, I'll be watching them this season for sure.
This is a part of what I think is the league's weird tipping point, in that they have this separation. If you only looked at the Atlantas of the world, you would think that things are great. You have all of these teams that are pushing up the average attendance and partnering with NFL teams on these new stadiums. One of the reasons why the league doesn't seem that excited to rescue a team that's been around since 1994 is because the key business indicators are not there. A phrase I love.
Yeah.
Because it really negates all of the history, all of the support. If you want to be a long-standing North American league, it is wonderful to have teams. It's wonderful to have new energetic teams that come and change the makeup. But you just, I feel like you can't leave behind these charter teams so easily.
Well, and the other thing too is about sustainability, right? I mean, it's great to have a team like Atlanta come in and do so well. And we hope that when Nashville and Miami come in, they'll do well as well and add competition to the league. But, you know, as you said, especially as a Vancouver Whitecaps fan, you start to begin to wonder, and you go, okay, so does that mean, you know, if BC Place can't continually increase its capacity, that we're going to be on the chopping block? Like, of course, ultimately, there's a lot to do with the ownership in these cases, but I think if you're a fan of soccer, you want to see these teams do well and stay where they are. Unfortunately, in MLS, you know, there's been lots of teams that have come and gone. I'd like to see the teams that we have now stick, and I'd like to see them continue to evolve and not just focus on the bright new shiny things, but focus on the teams that do have some history there. And yeah, maybe it's a slower burn. Maybe not every year is as exciting as the others, but for most soccer fans everywhere in the world, that's the case.
I think the where we're coming to here is, should you #save the crew? Yes.
#save the crew.
Yes.
Speaking of teams that perhaps are at times kind of underwhelming or hard to support, DC United made a lot of off-season, well, not a lot, but a number of off-season moves. They are soon moving into their beautiful new stadium. Again, another... Were they one of the original clubs?
They were. They were one of the charter teams in the league. And they also were... I want to make sure that it's league titles and not not otherwise, but they were essentially the dominant analog to Manchester United.
Yeah.
In that they won four MLS Cup titles. They won in 96, 97, and 99. So they won three out of the first four years of the league. And they have consistently been one of the top teams throughout the early years of the league. That has not borne out over the last 4 years.
No, it hasn't.
They've been in a decaying stadium. I think that they were, if I recall, it was like bad, bad, good 2 years ago, awful last year again.
Yeah, I think that about sums it up. However, they've made a number of additions as well, and maybe it's the momentum behind the stadium. I'm surprised they have any money left. But adding Assad from Atlanta, adding some depth in goalkeeping with our good friend David Osted, adding Darren Maddox, who is a player who plays soccer.
Another former Vancouver Whitecap.
But has scored goals and looks quite good in preseason with them. And sometimes that's all you need, right, is the right system to play under. I think DC United could... It's going to go one of two ways for them this season. I think this could be a really great year for them to ride the momentum of the new stadium and kind of a reinvention of themselves and get back to that sort of dominant form. I don't know if they have the depth to compete with the other teams, but I think they've built a good team, and I would expect them to finish mid-table this season and perform much more consistently than they have done over previous years.
I would say if you want it, you should support DC United if you want to be on the ground floor, because I think that I don't think they're going to be great this year. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, a big barnstorming playoff contention thing. But this is, like you say, the reset point.
Yeah.
You know, this is where things are going to start moving towards another goal, and there's a lot, I think, more hope around the franchise than there was last year. Or there was 3 years ago.
Agreed. I'll be watching them closely. I would say, certainly, if you're a fan in anywhere near the area, look to buy tickets. And if you can secure season tickets, probably do that, because I do think the next few years is really going to be a pivotal turning point for the team. And it's a team with ambitions. Maybe we're not seeing that necessarily in terms of splashy big spending this season, but I think they've made really smart additions to their squad that's going to work with the way they play. They haven't thrown out the things that they're good at, and I think they've ridden an identity crisis in a really good way. FC Dallas. This could be a short one.
It's tough. It's tough, and I'm going to try and make it not 100% about the fact that they got rid of their awesome hoop jersey and replaced it with a weird, as you described it last week, a wrapped Texas flag.
Yeah.
Around, they just wrapped the Texas flag around them, and then it became a shirt.
Pretty much. What is your assessment of this team? They a consistently very good team, but they really crashed and burned last year hard.
Yeah, they are they're another longtime team. They were another charter team of the club of the league. They before the David Beckham era, they had Carlos Ruiz, who was a huge Costa Rican star. and attracted a lot of attention. They did not have a good year last year, and I don't think there's a lot of great energy around them this year either, because I'm looking at their roster. Maxi Arruda continues to be good, but they don't come into the season on a great foot, having just gone out to the eighth place Panama team in the CONCACAF Champions League, which is the Continental Club Championship.
Yeah,
it's a bad way to start the year.
I agree. I mean, I think it was gutsy of them to have such a terrible season and maintain so much of the core of the team. But I kind of feel like this is one of the cases where, and I'm not a big fan of burn it down and throw everything out and restart and rebuild. But boy, I'm really struggling to see what the... Boy, gosh, golly. I'm struggling to see what they've added that will make this season any different. They've added some youth. That's about it. I'm just scrolling up and down through their roster. And the thing is, too, they've got good players. Matt Hedges, I think, is still one of the best center backs in the league. But as we know, it takes an entire team. And we consistently saw a lot of the players who stayed, like, you know, Acosta, Akindele, Barrios, etc., that really struggled to be consistent last season. Dallas on their day looks great, and they play a flashy attacking style of soccer, but they really abandoned that last season, and we just never quite saw the momentum going. So I think possibly every team in MLS has something of a rivalry with Dallas, but I would say no, you shouldn't follow FC Dallas this year.
You should follow FC Dallas if you are a fan of the band The Polyphonic Spree, because in years past, when the when MLS made an album of songs by popular artists for each team that's supposed to represent their identity, the Polyphonic Spree wrote a song called HOOPS Yes, which is still in my iTunes. And it's a real banger.
I agree. if for that reason alone.
The next team on our list on that album was represented by Mike Jones, and it is the Houston Dynamo.
Boo.
Houston is kind of an example of the early early wave of the key business indicator era, as it was a relocation of what was a successful team in the San Jose Earthquakes that then got their own expansion franchise very soon afterwards.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
To reconstitute themselves.
How are you the historian in this show? This is unfair.
They're the Cleveland Browns. Well, I this is just like 2007. I think it was, I can't remember exactly when this happened, but I was like, I was the year before TFC came into the league. I was watching the first Houston New England, I think the first or second Houston New England MLS Cup final. And I liked, there were reasons I had to like both teams, but one of them was that Houston had Canadian goalkeeper Pat Onstad.
Right.
At the time. And they sort of, that was a weird time, because they entered the league and won it basically the first time of asking. They won in 2006 and 2007. And it was a wonderful time in a team they didn't really build. And this is to say nothing bad about Houston fans, who are always game.
Yeah.
They were always in strong support and loud voice, and they've done a great job of getting behind the team in the intervening years. I think that it's in Houston at the same time, as much as you could sort of complain about that, they are a team, I believe, that was a part of the the league used to not be every It used to be, it is a single entity league, and multiple teams were owned by AEG, which including the Houston Dynamo. And they, so as much as it sucks that they were a relocated team, because that's awful for any franchise, they then spent the next couple of years as sort of the least loved child in the AEG family of MLS clubs. So they there's a lot to like about them, including their creamsicle kits of orange and white, and they are coming off of what I think what was a great season for them, with an interesting roster. What do you think?
I agree with everything you said. I was just having to look back because I was like, where did they finish last year? And I think I was thinking about the year before. So they did end up finishing fourth, just behind the Whitecaps in the Western Conference. They can be exciting on their day, but man, sometimes they're a very frustrating team to watch, because when they're on, and it's very fast and very exciting, and they're another team that hasn't made too many changes to their roster. But when it doesn't work, it's just so flat, and they really kind of run out of ideas early on. So I'm just going to be the unpopular guy and say right now, if Houston's playing against a mid-level team, maybe give it a pass and watch a more exciting team.
At the same time, and I'm not doing this because, like I said, I'm not doing this for any dislike of the team or its fans, but I don't necessarily have a great pitch for you on why to watch, other than they are an interestingly scrappy mid-table team.
Yeah, I can take that. Okay, we need to get disciplined to, because we are 7 teams in, and there's, as we know, 150 million teams in MLS. So let's be concise with these things. We're going to have to do a more brief assessment of some of these, but unfortunately,
we're getting to the interesting stuff. We're going to have to get modern. We're going to have to rebrand this.
Key business indicators.
To really pump up the key business indicators. There's the no one time. Team that has done that is LAFC.
LAFC. Andrew Bates, what do you think about LAFC?
They are a kind of expansion team in that they burned Chivas USA to the ground, getting rid of everything except, I believe, they kept the academy. I don't know if the old Chivas USA academy is there today.
It's just one but child essentially, there. I want to play.
Chivas was the second. Chivas was the sort of second club for the longest time, and a largely unsuccessful attempt to garner support among the Latino population in Los Angeles and in the southern United States.
Yeah, and be a farm team in to Guadalajara.
Yes. After an absence and essentially a re-entry as a completely new expansion franchise, they have got a slick rebrand. They have got some celebrity support, and they have got a interesting roster of players that they have assembled through the expansion draft, the regular draft, and some trades.
Yeah, I think Will Ferrell plays for them. Oh no, he's the ownership group. Yeah,
that's going to be the movie, though.
Here's LA Galaxy. Oh, that's a slip up that I'm going to make a lot this season.
LAFC, the black and gold.
The movie. The story, the club. You should follow this team for one simple reason. They're an expansion side, and expansion sides are exciting now and may not crash and burn right out of the gate. My good old friend Carlos Vela, star of sitting on the bench at Arsenal and doing wonders in FIFA 2009, the game, plays for them and has already shown that he's well-equipped to play in MLS. Our old buddies Jordan Harvey and Stephen Bedisher, of course, have joined the club. I think they're going to be inconsistent out of the gate. Certainly an interesting team to watch. I would say, yes, you should... support might be a strong word, but you should watch LAFC. However,
the former. Sorry. Yes.
I was going to skip ahead.
The oldest hot team in LA. I agree with your opinion on LAFC. The new hotness LAFC, old and busted LA Galaxy.
Oh Lord. Okay, I've kind of been excited to just get to this one. Like, there's a lot of great teams. Well, some great teams and some interesting teams to talk about coming up. But I was really just waiting to talk about this. Have you watched any of their preseason games?
No. How's it been?
Fucking terrible. They're so bad. They're still so bad. I'm sorry if you're having your kids listen to this to try to decide on a team. I still feel like that's a fair assessment, and you should let them listen to that bit. They just really have not shown that they have any ambition. Okay, they brought in Ola Kamara from Columbus Crew, but I sort of feel like Kamara and Zardes were similar strikers with similar production rates. Arguably, Kamara, well, not arguably, certainly he had a better season last season, but I don't see what they're doing that's doing anything different. And I'm wondering if Ziggy Schmidt's time has kind of come and gone, and I'm not sure. I don't see what the plan is here, which I know with great coaches, often that's the case. You don't always see the great plan that unfolds, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. I think they're going to have almost exactly the same season they had last season. Maybe they'll finish a little higher, but it's been no bueno.
They are one of, if not the great MLS clubs, having won a record 5 titles. They have probably, if you are just now, if you've never seen an MLS jersey in your life, you have probably seen an LA Galaxy jersey, at least hanging in the hanging on a rack in your local Sport Check. because of a player you may have heard of named David Beckham, whose arrival basically brought in the era of designated players in attempts to pay players a wage that would get them to join the league before they while they still had life in their knees.
Mm-hmm.
That ushered in a huge rebrand for the team. They stopped wearing Brazil yellow and green. They had a great era with Beckham. They had a great sort of post-Beckham era that included former Tottenham Hotspur and Irish striker Robbie Keane. But they're not great now.
No. And I think they really over-rely on Ashley Cole and the Dos Santos brothers. In a way that I sort of feel like they're still trying to ride that crest of success that they had with those. Obviously, with a guy like Alessandrini in the mix, they could do better. Here's the thing. I think overall they've improved over last season. I don't think they've improved enough to compete with the way that other teams have improved in the off season. And they're kind of one of those teams that I think really needs to look at themselves and be a lot more ambitious if they're wanting to keep up with the likes of these expansion sides and clubs that have really, really looked top to bottom and said, is this the right play? You know, Ashley Cole, you're going to love him or you're going to hate him, but to hang all your hopes in defense on a 37-year-old former sort of star in Europe, this is the thing that LA Galaxy needs to get over, and I would love to see them get over soon. Is stop signing old European players and hanging all your hopes on them. It worked at one time in MLS, but that's not the future of MLS, and I think they need to readjust. No disrespect to Cole, who's going to have a fantastic season, but he can't do it by himself.
We talked a little bit about this last week, but the wheels fell off completely. In the midseason with the captain asking for and receiving a transfer out, I think that the biggest thing that floors me, as you say, is just how little they've done to merit any sort of hope. And yet I hope that they aren't sort of key business indicator out of town. I doubt they will be because they're one of the biggest clubs in the league. in terms of their league awareness, but you know, and it's with a new hot team in town, it's going to be a tough time for them.
I agree. And I am also, I'll say this, I'm very excited to see the first LA Galaxy LAFC match. That being said, I don't know if a rivalry will be born, because I picture one team blowing the other team out of the water pretty quick. Sometimes that's how rivalries are born. One team that was kind of interesting last year, and a team that we've talked a little bit about, but they've kind of been on the fringes, is Minnesota, an easily overlooked expansion side that has fantastic support, but certainly struggled last season. Did not start well at all. I think they gave up something like 16 goals in their first three or four games. Have made a few moves, but also towards the end of the season, we started to see, like, okay, there's something there. There's a club that's beginning to develop a bit of chemistry, and credit to them, they've actually kept a lot of that core to the team. So what's your take on Minnesota?
I think that it was a tough year for them, because they were one of the teams in the East that was, I would say, not as consistently depressing as the teams in the West that were at the bottom of the table, mm-hmm. but not doing much in the same year as Atlanta was coming in as an expansion cousin and doing so well. But I think they laid down a really good foundation.
I agree. Jury's still out, but I know I'm going to be watching Minnesota United games closely, if not for their potential, but for the snow.
Should you? Should we follow them?
We should follow them.
I agree. I think that it's as my story at the beginning indicates, or would sort of say, there is a joy in being on the ground floor.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now's a great time to do it.
And I'll say this too: I think in terms of support, I think across MLS, Minnesota has one of the best fan bases, and I'm not blowing smoke. I have no reason to court Minnesota fans, but I love the games are loud, the fans are involved, and I'm excited to see them do better this season.
We are now up on our first Canadian team, the Montreal Impact. What do you think of them?
We all know how I feel about Anthony Jackson Hamel, and I would say that's probably one of the few bright spots I have for this team. They've been atrocious preseason. They've really overhauled things. They have a new head coach, etc. I don't know. I don't know what to think. They've made changes, but I don't know that they've made enough changes. They're always a pretty okay team, but consistency, of course, has plagued them as well. Should we follow them at this point? I mean, I know if there's Americans listening to this, probably not. I think that there is great potential there, but, you know, I don't see things going that much differently for them this season than last. They did bring in Raheem Edwards from Toronto. I love there's a lot of Canadian talent on this team. And I love that there's a lot of Quebec talent, especially on this team. But of course, it's a Canadian team, so I'm going to say you should follow them. And I really hope they have a better season. But they're another team that's not made enough off-season moves to keep up with the rest of the league. I think they're really, really going to struggle this season, and we've already seen that in preseason.
They are a team. They're a team that that came into the league in 2010. Another sort of extension of a second division team in the Impact. Unlike the. The Whitecaps and the Seattle Sounders that played with them in the Timbers, they are the ones that don't have an old 80s and a 70s NASL connection. But they had a long history as a club that had success in the lower leagues and came up. I got the chance to talk to my pal, Olivier Tremblay, who works for Radio Canada and covers the Impact. And got to pick his brain a little bit about their new head coach, Remy Gard, who is the person that we were talking about who has come in. I asked what he thought would be different, and he just replied with the hashtag play your kids and said that there's essentially a clear pattern in how they've updated their roster, and they want to get younger. They've done it so far, and they're asking for patience, basically.
Yeah, and power to them. Like, Montreal has done a fantastic job with their academy, and if that's the way they're going to do it, it might be a little frustrating for fans, but I think that's great.
Olivier tells you, the new Montreal Impact fan, that you should be looking at Algerian player Safir Tider, who is kind of one of the obvious picks as a midfielder, but perhaps some curiosity about Jason Vargas of Chile is also warranted. But he says, in terms of, and I hadn't asked him what his take on this question of should you support it is. He says at the end, honestly, I'd skip every Impact game if you told me I could watch Roselle play for Orlando every week.
Oh, that's promising. Hey, Andrew, do you want an update from the Parker Watch?
Oh, Parker Watch, give me that hot Parker news.
So I just saw Vancouver Southsiders just subtweeted something from a gentleman. I'm just trying to check the source here. Freelance reporter covering USMNT and MLS. That Jesse Marsh all but confirms that Philippe is gone, saying an announcement about him was made to the team before the game tonight. They're currently playing in the Champions League. So we'll see. Of course, Philippe is the rumored trade for Tim Parker. So I think this one has some legs. I think tomorrow morning we're going to wake up and Timmy Parker's going to be gone, and we're going to have a new midfielder.
It's all but done, apparently. I believe what Jesse Marsh has to say.
That's a pretty reliable source.
This is our sort of stringing through. If you are a current MLS team fan, we'll give you periodic updates on this file. The next team in our set, when I was in high school, ignoring my homework to watch the MLS Cup final with Houston, they were defeating the New York Revolution. Who are also a long. Also a long-running MLS team with a lot of history behind them. Often the history has been as the runner-up in MLS Cup finals, which doesn't mean that they're not a wonderful team with great fans, many of whom are I follow on Twitter and are great.
Agreed.
It's been rough for them. They were runners-up in 2002, 2005, 2006, 2007, so both of the Houston Dynamo championship games in 2014.
Yep.
This last year, they placed, where were they? They were near to the bottom of the East.
Yeah. I think
seventh East.
I think it's going to be the same again. Again, not enough ambition, not enough serious additions. They'll win some games. They always get stuck in. The big question mark for them is Lee Wynn right now, if he stays. He definitely wants out. If he stays for the first part of the season, I think we can certainly expect to see him gone by the summer. They're really going to struggle. There's no ambition here, top to bottom. I see them really, really, really struggling. I don't think that Kai Kamara was the perfect fit for them, but he was one of the few bright spots to an otherwise totally lackluster team. The only other bright spot being Lee Wynn, who also wants away. So, nope. I don't think you should follow New England Revolution, and I hope that I'm proven wrong, but, yeah. No. Hard pass.
I would say that You should follow the New England Revolution if you are anywhere in the Boston area.
If you
can drive to a game
5 minutes within the stadium, you should totally follow them.
That doesn't count downtown, though.
Yeah.
The downtown Boston area, they play out of Gillette. Because I think that it's a longstanding club with a great history of support. You'll make some fast friends, and maybe one day you will be able to experience a big one.
Great support. Nothing but respect to the fans. I think a fans alliance of players could do better than their current roster. Just going to leave that there. Sorry.
What's the European analog here? Is it Liverpool? Or is it Manchester United? No, because they both won things.
For New England?
Yes.
I think the analog would be Everton.
I can go with that.
Underachieving forever. But occasionally bright spots. I know it's not quite fair because New England has won championships and Everton has only ever won seventh. But
a team who's underachieving, I feast on.
I know,
is New York City FC.
I thought David Villa retired. How did I get that into my head that he retired? And then they're like, David Villa, how do we build around him? I'm like, isn't he 40? Like, he's obviously great, but I was just like, how? Okay. David Villa, still here.
We still doing this David Villa thing?
Jesus.
They came into the league in 2013. This is year four of the New York City experience. They made it to the Eastern Conference semifinals each of the last 2 years, losing to Toronto. Oh no! It was the quarters, I think, the year before. But they essentially were the dominant number two team until they hit Toronto both years. They are co-owned by Manchester City and the New York Yankees. You should not support them under any circumstances,
nope.
Unless you're a City fan.
Unless you're a baseball fan. And you want to see a soccer team play on a baseball field. It's ridiculous. All jokes.
If you're a Manchester City fan, you're used to this. Yeah. So absolutely roll in it. But under any other circumstance.
Blech. The one thing I would say is the addition of Abdul Salam, who's a fantastic defender from Sporting KC that they added, could really help them because defensively they've been pretty shaky, and they really do. To me, this is a team built around David Villa's free kicks, and this to me is the definition of what we talked about last year with Orlando, which we'll get to in a little bit, and their lack of success is really built around this aging European model. And Andrea Pirlo is one of the greatest players to ever play the game, but it was just heartbreaking to watch him struggle with this non-starter of a team, despite the fact that they've had some success. Oh my God, even if I lived in New York City, in the Yankee Stadium, they're so boring to watch, even when they're winning sometimes, that you should absolutely not support this team.
They were one of the only Whitecaps home games I got to see, and I got to tell Pirlo to fuck off within 40 feet of him, so I was pretty pleased about that.
It was like the one game I missed that season was that game, so I never got to see. Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I did see him last season. I took a lot.
Now they're crosstown rivals.
I took a lot of pictures of Andrea Pirlo's hair.
They're crosstown rivals, the New York Rebels.
Yeah, same deal.
Red Bull New York. This is a weird one because they were one of the charter MLS teams back when they were known as the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars in 1996. In 2010, they were sort of another harbinger of the current era of sort of, professionalized MLS. When they were purchased by Red Bull and made one of the many Red Bull clubs in the world. But I still like them better than City.
Yeah, which feels kind of dirty because I was I was getting all riled up, ready to be like, well, but it's better than the Red Bulls. But is it really? The one thing for me about the Red Bulls this year is, again, not changing too much about the forward lineup. We know what Bradley Wright Phillips can do. He's 32. Hopefully he stays fit and continues to just do what he does, which is run at defenders, steal the ball, and slot it in. And it's annoying as hell, but he's fantastic at it. But they're missing one of their key players, and I don't see how they've effectively replaced Sasha Kljestan, which leads us into the next team. But okay, we're not necessarily addressing how they'll do. It's whether or not you should support them. I think they'll do well. I think they'll probably end up in the playoffs or very close to. But no real signals of intention in terms of competing with the expansion clubs and with the might of Toronto. And considering what a massive club they're sort of viewed as, and they have been quite good. If you're in the East right now, I'm going, can you beat Toronto? And I'm just scrolling up and down again through the roster. I'm going, no, you can't. Come back next year. Which is maybe unfair, but Red Bulls are a big snooze button to me. No. To me, like the worst matchup right now I can think of in the league is like the Red Bulls versus Houston. I just... No.
The one team that I'm actually kind of excited about is Orlando City.
Let's talk about the team we shit all over last year.
like New York City, they came into the league in 2014 after a run as a USL team. Orlando City SC that stole the previous USL one Austin Aztecs.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a relocator before they even were born.
Whoa,
Orlando. But it's been an interesting couple of years. They had the headline grabbing signing of Brazilian legend Kaká.
Kaká.
Past his usefulness, and certainly he wasn't very good last year. And neither was the team. We did shit on them a lot last year for just not feeling. They didn't look motivated. They didn't seem like they were in the right sorts. They may have been kicked out of Disneyland.
Some of them.
I texted you last Halloween. I texted you a picture of a purple jersey. A purple unbranded jersey hanging in a Value Village saying, is Orlando area soccer player no longer welcome in this theme park? A viable costume. I didn't pick that, but I could have. But it is looking up this year, I think.
It certainly is. Okay, we've talked a lot about teams that haven't done enough in the off season. And I know this is not really a particularly hot take. I think Orlando, they may not come out of the gates flying. This, to me, if they do not make the playoffs and they do not make it past the first round, I would be absolutely amazed. They've done absolutely everything right. They've cleaned house of everything that was wrong with the team. They've kept everything that was good, I think. And there's nothing to indicate they're not going to have anything but success this season. They've got a great combination of older leadership in the team. They've really strengthened up their defense. They've brought on players like Justin Merrim, Sasha Kljestan, like their midfield, Will Johnson, like just those three names. I mean, like, that's a fantasy team right there. Those guys have jumped around between a lot of MLS teams. That's a lot of experience. Okay, you've got ages 31, 32, and 29 there. Those are great ages to have to build off of the youth that they've brought into the team and have kept in the team. I think Orlando is going to be a really, really difficult team to beat this season.
They have a perennially disappointed head coach, Jason Kreis, which I don't mean as an insult.
No.
I feel like as much as it's hard to say, like, this coach could mean good things for them when there was a motivation problem last year, I think that he could mean good things for them. He's also the author of one of my favorite press conferences of all time.
Yes.
When he was the manager of Real Salt Lake, they brought him on first for the press conference before for the away team speech, and they said, first of all, this is head coach Jason Christ. Jason, do you have any comments about the loss? And he just says, no comments, ask questions.
I was sort of looking at this, and I was going, like, how can they afford Sasha Kljestan and Justin Merrim in the midfield? And went, all right, it's that Kyle Larin money.
They had key Canadian forward Kyle Larin, who went to Besiktas.
He certainly did. This is fantastic news for them. And I think if Dom Dwyer can stay on form this year, and they've also brought in this midfielder from Peru, Yotun, who's supposed to be the real deal. I'm excited. Last season, they were like a stifled fart. But this season, I'm very excited to see what Orlando does. I'm going to be watching them closely. Yes, you should watch and support Orlando.
I agree. If you have no ties, I think that you should watch and support Orlando. Ooh. If you do have ties, I feel like you are probably going to end this season hating Orlando. That's what I think. I think that you should get on board, because if you don't have you get to own that success now.
Totally. The one thing I want to add quickly is also I love that Orlando has a really strong tie with their women's team, with the Orlando Pride.
Yes.
And I think they're one of the few clubs in MLS that has the team, and it's such an exemplary relationship between the two teams. It's not just an afterthought for them. Like, it's actually a part of the club. So you should support them for that reason too.
It's growing. There are a few, Houston's another. Portland, who we will meet soon, and RSL are others as well. Yeah. The next team on our list has not come up in any time in our previous discussion of the league. It's because they're the Philadelphia Union, and it hasn't gone great. They have not made a huge mark ever.
No.
Sorry, Union fans.
No. Here's the thing. I think this is one where we truly can keep it short. So, like, Philadelphia, prove us wrong. Prove us all wrong. They've got great players. They need to string results together. I don't think they can compete with the teams in the East right now. The one interesting standout here that could potentially change things for them, and I don't know if it's necessarily a playoff spot or whatever, but they did add David Akan to the roster, which is a fantastic signing.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the key pieces from Chicago last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And David Akan is clearly, he's a hungry player. He's getting into the prime. We've seen what he can do in Chicago, but he kind of fell off the radar there out of the pecking order a little bit. I would love to see the Philadelphia Union become a relevant team in MLS again. David Akam could be the key thing, but man, that Eastern Conference this year I think is going to be really, 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 really difficult.
Yep. I always hope for more out of the 2010 expansion team, but they definitely did not do the same as Seattle.
No.
Another Northwest team is like Seattle. It's the Portland Timbers.
How dare you? I mean, yes, Portland Timbers. Sure. Let's talk about
it. Well, I was trying to explain how I was segueing to Portland as a Northwest team out of Philadelphia, which is not true.
Depends which flight you catch.
This is one of the I think that it's a relative late entrant in the league in terms of entering in 2011 after having a long history in the second division and prior to that sort of inheriting the history of the NASL Portland Timbers. But they have been one of the perennial interesting clubs to watch and love and hate.
Indeed. Look, I hate Portland Timbers a lot because I have to. I have I have nothing but respect for the club. Well, sort of. Should we support them? I have to say no. Of course, I have to say no. So I'll just leave you with this. I watched some of their preseason games, of course, because I'm going to pay attention to the Cascadia teams, even though the Cascadia Cup has basically been rendered pointless now. And Victor Arboleda, I believe is the name, the new young midfielder from Colombia.
Yes.
Is a force to be reckoned with. He's young, he's quick, he can clearly score goals. They've also brought in the Swedish forward, Armenteros. This is a big shakeup for the team. This is the first team in a long time that's not going to be run by Caleb Porter. I'm interested to see what Savarese does with the team. I don't even know, really. They've been kind of up and down in the preseason, but they've kept a lot of the things that have always made them successful. And I actually think getting rid of Nagby and moving him on was probably an okay move. But it is going to be a different look and feel to a team that's had some real consistency in terms of lineup. Should you support them? Of course you shouldn't. You should support the Vancouver Whitecaps.
They have hired new coach Giovanni Savarese from second division New York Cosmos now that the NASL has announced it's not going to be operating in 2018. They've consistently over the last years being high scoring, guns out team with Diego Valeri, Fernando Addy, and Nagby when he played there. They sort of lucked at like one of the lower qualifiers in 2015 in the playoffs, barnstormed all the way to the trophy. And since then, they've been one of the top teams in the league. They formed with the Whitecaps in Seattle, the Cascadian Cup rivalry. It's an unbalanced, one of the games is being not counted in order to make it balanced this year. It counts up the winners of all the league games between the two. Which is a little unfortunate for that, but it's a wonderful rivalry. As Vancouver Whitecaps fans, we are honor bound to tell you not to. But if I was to cover my eyes and my ears and my heart, I would tell you that they do have an amazing stadium. The support is one of the most vociferous in the league. And they've been consistently entertaining to watch. So if you would like to be against us,
yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. You're right. Of course you're right.
With all the Cascadian teams, I do honestly feel as much as I love all the games and I love the rivalries between the three teams, I really love... I feel like there is a sort of mutual support in that the three clubs together can promote the sport to a really advanced level in the sort of sporting culture of all their cities.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing I will say is Portland fans especially, and I've witnessed this firsthand a lot of times, consistently just swell people.
But you should not support them under any circumstances as long as you are. next up, we got RSL, Real Salt Lake.
Yeah.
They are a part of an era of the team that is gone, which is to name every... Well, I guess not necessarily to name the teams like... European teams for no discernible reason.
Mm-hmm.
Real in Real Madrid means royal, which is the heart of one of my favorite chants of all time, which is, who the hell's the king of Utah? Who the hell's the king of Utah? They were founded as expansion teams and entered the league in 2005 and won the 2009 MLS Cup. They've been better.
Yeah.
They were a big force in the Western Conference, I would say, 3 years ago. But I'd say that it's been – but last year better than the year before it? I feel like if it's not, this one will be.
I hope so. I have a lot of time for RSL. They're a rival, but I think they've got a fantastic team. They've kept a lot of their great players, João Plata and Albert Rosnak as well, that are young. So they are a younger team. Kyle Beckerman will probably be able to see the ball this year because he doesn't have to see through his threads anymore. But in all, Kyle Beckerman, we know, is a fantastic presence in MLS and one of the most consistent midfielders there is. We'll see. We'll see how it goes with them. I think they've got a good setup. They've struggled. But again, a team that hasn't shut up shop and just thrown out everything and tried to rebuild, but tried to add a lot of youth to the team, which could mean they still struggle this year. Last season, they, again, were a team that was sometimes difficult to watch. But man, when they can get the speed going on the wings, they're so exciting to watch. I hope that they can keep that up, and I hope they keep building it. Yeah, you can support Real Salt Lake, sure.
I'm gonna go no, because I loved them as a rival, and I don't, as much as they have great players, I've never. They're a great opponent, but I've never found something about them that I find to be compelling to me.
Fair enough.
Nick Raimondo is great and a legend in the league. Their goalkeeper.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. And I miss Beckerman's hair. the new San Jose Earthquakes, and by new I mean like 2006 or 2000. They resumed play in 2008, 2 years after Houston took to the scene.
Yeah.
But they were one of the original MLS teams. And I'm not sure if they did the full Cleveland deal where they have the old history and they have the rights to all of the former honors, including I believe they did win the MLS Cup. They're the former home of Landon Donovan. They won the MLS Cup in 2001-2003. It's been good. They had sort of one-time MLS scoring phenom, Chris Wondolowski, and I believe continue to have him.
They do.
I don't know that he's the same sort of force that he once was, and I think that this continues to be a key sort of identity issue for them going forward.
I agree. The one thing I'll say, in fairness to Chris Wondolowski, is he consistently delivers, and despite wherever San Jose has been in the last 5 years and more, he's been there and he's scored goals. And he has led the team, and we know what he can do in even a desperate moment. Unfortunately, we're back to a team that really has not made enough changes to really warrant a good look at them and go, okay, this is a team that's really going to compete beyond... players that just you kind of go like, okay, like that could be a positive thing, but they're kind of the traditional unknowns where you just go like, okay, they've brought in a new Swedish midfielder. We know nothing about him. Maybe that's going to be a great thing for them, but it's kind of too soon to say. The thing I'll say about the Earthquakes is they are, I think in the past they've been champions and they've been great. and now they're kind of in an era where they're a little bit more the underdog, but they're still fully capable of upsetting teams. That being said, they're fully capable of being upset, and I don't necessarily see that being much different this season. And I agree, they've pinned so much of their identity on Wando. You know, he's a 35-year-old striker. He's going to score goals. He's fit. He's stayed fit. He's avoided serious injury for the better part. But that's a big, big ask of an older striker who doesn't necessarily have the speed, which is taking nothing away from him.
So what are you leaning on the question?
Was it a
question? No, the question being, should you support them?
Should we support San Jose Earthquakes? Probably not. But who knows? Anything can happen. They have made some additions, but they've been quite quiet, and who knows? That can be okay. It doesn't necessarily need to be big name and big money signings, but I'm not anticipating a big breakout year for them.
I'm gonna say no for the same reason that I said about RSL. Yeah. They're a team that can always have a great result on the day, but I don't find myself compelled.
No.
The second of three teams in the Cascadia rivalry, Seattle Sounders.
Who?
like the Portland Timbers and the Vancouver Whitecaps, they played in the second division for several years. They came in as an expansion team in 2010. They have the NASL history. They have been one of the consistently highest attendance, best supported teams since their arrival. They have won MLS Cup once in 2016. They have had some of the key players in the league in sort of the DP era. They got the returning Clint Dempsey, who had been a New England player at first and came back for Seattle. Mm-hmm. They've had a bunch of – they had one of the – they had Obafemi Martins at one point. They've had some really key – they've had some key players. They – won the league in 2016. They had a great year last year, but did not have a dominating performance in the Western Conference, and were soundly defeated in the final against Toronto. Should you jump on the bandwagon to see if they could make it 2-3?
Okay, I'm gonna put aside all of my Cascadia feelings here. They're a great team. We know they're a great team. They've kept all of the great players they have. And I think have added some interesting pieces. We'll see. Should you support them? Yeah, if you have to, then sure, why not? I think the big piece for them this season is going to be if Lodero can consistently deliver. Because that was a piece that was missing from them last season, is we saw Nicholas Lodero come into the league, do fantastically well, and then just kind of choke. And I'll say this, Seattle's added some great talent and really kept their core, which I appreciate. It's easy to lose a final and then want to tear the whole thing down and make a bunch of changes, but they've put faith in the players that got them there. The big question mark right now, I think, is about Jordan Morris, who's basically out for the entire season with an AC.
Yeah, that's injury. A huge problem.
So quite apart from how they'll do, I just want to take a moment to say, like, it's just so upsetting even to see a rival team lose especially a young player to such a horrific injury, and he struggled with injuries last season, and you go best of luck to him, and I hope he makes a full recovery, but being realistic, this could be potentially a real game changer for him, not necessarily even the Sounders, but for his career. because those kind of injuries have a way of not really ever fully healing, and a young player can really destroy confidence. So Seattle, should you be a fan? Of course. I mean, they've got to the final for a reason. And they've kept that key thing. Right now, for me, it's just really thoughts to Jordan Morris and his recovery, which is going to be a long, difficult one. And I think one of the most promising domestic talents in MLS.
I think of the Cascadian teams, I have a rivalry with them slightly more. Like I think that I get up a little bit more for Sounders matches than I do for Portland matches. It's the same, but I feel like I've been burned a little worse by the Sounders in the past.
Sure.
From the matches that I've been to.
There's very few... I'll say this, is that there's very few Sounders matches that are boring. It happens.
Yes.
It happens. But if you're just a fan of soccer, and, you know, if it's a Sunday game and, you know, it's Houston versus Dallas or something like that.
Yeah.
Even regardless of the matchups, I'm looking to watch the Sounders because there's very few games that are just bad or boring. They're an exciting team to watch, and they've got a great mix of young and old players. So, of course, I will forever hate them, but they're a great team, and they're a great team to watch.
I would say that the Sounders will make you happy, and that's an important part of your relationship with a sports team. Especially if you live in the area, absolutely you should get involved with that. But they're one of the teams, they're one of the league's top teams. They're one of the league's, I think, will continue to be well supported and well resourced. If you choose to join the fold, it will be a happy time for you.
I agree. And the last point I want to add is I would love to get down to CenturyLink Field and see a game there.
It's crazy. It's crazy because it is the NFL stadium and they have the upper deck of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd hate the whole thing the whole time, but I do want to experience it because you just can't argue with that kind of support in MLS.
What is so exciting about it, having been there, it's not a huge sports, it's not a four sport market or anything, but the Seahawks dominate the consciousness of Washington State so profusely that the fact that they have been able to make the Sounders something that fills that stadium and something that people care about is really special. And I think that is something that I want to witness as an away fan cooped up in the section where they put those weary travelers.
Okay.
We're down to Sporting Kansas City. Sporting Kansas City.
Yes.
They have been good. They have won the MLS Cup through the defensive prowess that they have that has become their namesake. One thing that was their namesake previously was the Kansas City Wizards in a more colorful era of the league, but they are now the more European Sporting.
We're Sporting now. We're not even Wizards. We're just Sporting.
Which is a Portuguese affectation. Sporting Lisp. They're definitely, and I think that this is similar to last year. They're always locked on, but I'm not excited by them. And I'm curious what you think.
No, I think I agree. I think that's a fair assessment. They haven't made a ton of moves, but a little bit of this is sentimental. So in the question of should you support them or should you not, look, if you're a fan of the game, most fans of the game now care about scoring goals. Like, we care about seeing fast players on the wings. We care about people getting into the box. We care about physicality in the game, etc. We're focused on the attacking side. Kansas has done a thing consistently well, and I think they deserve to be praised more for it, and certainly they've been praised for it. is that they actually have a really, really consistent defense that really has no equivalent in MLS.
No.
That back five from across the board is really, really great. And it's good to see them bringing in some young additions as well. But it may not always be the most exciting soccer to watch. But if you're a fan of the game, and certainly if you're a defender in any capacity, watch these games, follow this team. It's not always the most exciting soccer. But when you see a team defensively just shut another team down, it's not even just about that back four, but it's about what the midfielders are doing. Tactically, they're a very, very clever team, and possibly because it's not always exciting, it doesn't get enough credit, but I'm going to be paying more attention to them this season as a defender who probably can't play anymore, but
I've learned a lot from
watching those back four and what they do, and it really, really, really is something very different from any other team in MLS.
That's the best. That is absolutely correct. They are a defenders team. Tim Melia, their goalkeeper. Matt Beisler and Graham Zuzzi, defenders, have been mainstays. And it'll be interesting. And Ike Opara as well?
Yeah. Oh, and Opara is really, really good in preseason as well. I saw just a few glimpses of them, but he's locked.
Zuzzi's a midfielder.
He's just a beast. Love watching him play.
Zussi's a midfielder. I realize I said that wrong. Yeah.
But he does come and check back. Like, that's the thing, is that whole team is part of the defense, and that is also really important when you have players who are locked into the attacking mode coming back and defending. Very exciting.
Now you have a team who at no point in its history, other than this, could you imagine as a juggernaut. But Toronto FC lost in the finals as a sort of a low seed in the playoffs, made it all the way to the final, lost 0-0 against Seattle, and lost on penalties in a result a lot of people thought was unfair, and out of pure spite, as I've mentioned before, after their win at the game, both finals I attended, out of pure spite, they ran the table last year, collecting more points than any team has ever collected in the history of MLS. And they were, frankly, unbeatable. They are the Cleveland Cavaliers of this league. Mm-hmm. And they did it after 10 years of garbage.
Yes.
Just.
Oh, God, it was so bad.
Just.
I think that's it's a good thing to bring up, because, you know, we can trash talk Toronto all we want, but credit where credit is due. Not only are they a fantastic team, but boy, Toronto fans who were there from the beginning, they so deserved every second of that. Which I don't think we properly acknowledged last season. Like, God, they deserved that. Bless you, TFC.
They were
there from the beginning. You deserved every minute of that and more.
They were founded as a fresh slate expansion side team. They were 13th, 12th, 12th, 11th, 16th, 19th, 17th, 13th, 12th, until 2016, when they were runners up. So they were that was the first. The year they were runners up was the first year they placed in the overall top 10.
Yes.
And they had been a team that really were all leaders in terms of the supporters culture that a lot of other clubs adopted. And they tried to participate in the first wave of signings, like people like Danny Kovermans, that were not successes, of World Cup stars. They had their bloody big deal signing of Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley. One of them stuck around. But both of them helped elevate the idea of the team, but they still weren't that great for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they just finally, through the success of Altidore and Giovinco, have built an identity, have built a sort of an attacking ability. The club has built an identity. Greg Vanney has built a championship team. And it seems they've lost very few people. Mm-hmm. Stephen Betashore, I think, being the key absence out of the back line. They've lost very few people and made some intriguing additions. What do you think about their... Are we looking at a third straight finals appearance? Is it too early to say that?
So that wasn't the original question. The question was, do we support them or not? So can I...
Do we support them or not?
Can I answer that first?
Yes.
Okay. Hell no. Don't support Toronto FC. if you're already a Toronto FC supporter, you're off the hook on this one. If you bandwagon it, all of us in MLS are watching you. Big hot take. I think they're going to win again this season, undoubtedly. I don't see. I would love a team to challenge them. All the teams we've talked about, does any team come to mind that can compete with this lineup and the way that they perform? They're riding the high. Greg Vanney is an amazing coach. He's very tactical. It's not just about personnel. He really does know how to line up this team against other teams, and we've seen the depth that Toronto has, and they've only added to it. To me, it's sort of almost ridiculous to think that they're not going to the final again, let alone winning it. Should you support them?
Seattle?
Hell no.
LA has only gotten worse. LAFC, you can't really expect them to be... I'm talking only Western Conference teams right now. You can't really expect them to be magically good right out of the gate. Seattle and Portland have done nothing, I would say, to significantly strengthen themselves. On the Eastern Conference side, with the exception of Orlando, which was not really a elite club beforehand, so expecting them to step up to that level is also a tough ask.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody that was in a contending position has gotten measurably better.
No. And Toronto literally could have done nothing and probably won the whole thing again. And so far, it seems like the moves they have made were exactly the right ones. They don't need to change things too much. The one mm-hmm. thing that, of course, is a bit of a question mark is about the fitness of Giovinco and Altidor, because they are both sort of older strikers and... have been injury prone. However, we've seen Toronto have the depth to be able to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really seen them find a who's the young up and coming striker for Toronto. So I'll say this, I think this season again they can be really, really dominant. That being said, I don't necessarily also see how they're building for the future and what's coming through the ranks. A lot of the key pieces they have and that they've kept and re-signed, etc., are players that are in or past their prime. It's great to see Justin Morrow, Drew Moore, Altidor, Giovinco, etc. back, but these are all players who are over 30 or near 30, and... I'd like to see some more youth come up through the ranks. My only criticism of Toronto at this point would be, where's the opportunities for the youth? Because so far it seems like they've kind of moved them on to other teams, and I'd like to see them develop that within the academy. But, I mean, come on. It's just like, where's the argument that Toronto's going to not dominate again this season?
These are the Cavs, and there are Cavs fans out there because it's glorious to watch. It's every game last season was just a test of how Toronto is going to disassemble its opponents on that particular occasion. One thing I can't really say to neutrals from Canada, I don't think that there's a huge, other than them being located in Canada, I don't think there's a huge Canadian pitch.
Nope.
Because other than Jonathan or Osorio, there's no regular, I would say, that you can really sort of pin your hopes on as a Canadian that is in the 11.
I agree. This is a team of and for Toronto, really. Which is fine, but in terms of Canadian talent, if you were going to pick a Canadian team that is bringing up Canadian talent and actually gives a shit, it's Montreal.
Now that I've given my neutral pitch, it's great. It's very exciting that they had success. I lived in Toronto, and I like to see Toronto or soccer get bigger in the sporting consciousness of that city. I'm going to put on my Homer Vancouver Whitecaps hat and say that all of the years that they did really badly were fucking funny. Because...
yes.
Because the support can be so... And I mean, like, 10 years of losing will do this to you, but just negative. Like, it can just be hard. It can just be, like, it can sap you. And the anger that you get back is, as a fan of a team, is great as a foil to sort of respond against. But Toronto, now that I don't live there anymore, I don't know. They were one of the earliest rivals and opponents for me, and they will continue to be so.
He's out. We have talked a lot about the Whitecaps in the preseason because, of course, that's the main team that we both follow. So maybe rather than a question of should we follow the Whitecaps or not, because, of course, we're both going to be like, of course you should follow the Whitecaps. If we're looking at the West and if we're looking at the massive amount of changes that they've made and that are happening currently as we're doing this, how do you... where do you see them fitting in this season? And I know that a lot of that is unknown, but if you just had to call it now, where do you see the Whitecaps finishing?
What's hard, and this is something I wanted to talk about right off the bat when we were talking about Parker. I want to be really positive because this I really enjoy following the Whitecaps. It's been hard a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's been hard to feel like you were on the level of the Sounders in the Timbers and see them outstrip you. It's been hard to want to compete with Toronto and see them outstrip you. It's been hard to see players that you care about leave every year and feel like maybe they were hard done by, to feel like, you know, that what happened is not how you would run a club.
Yeah.
You know, the way that people were treated, and this goes all the way back to the early years in MLS, that how players were treated are not necessarily how you would treat a player that had been so key and that you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Vancouver fans have been great about this, and one of the best things that that's ever came out of it was the goodbye party for David Oustad. But there's been such... The answer to your question of where they're going to fall this year is there's been such high turnover.
Mm-hmm.
That essentially last year, it all hinged on Jordy Reyna.
Mm-hmm.
That was a key piece, and Reyna was injured early on in the season. And the identity of the team changed significantly after he came back, after a great preseason as well. I think that it's really hard to pinpoint the identity of this team depending on you don't even know some of these players. You don't know if they're going to be successful, if they're going to stay. You don't know if somebody's coming in August. You don't know if somebody that is signed is going to be in the 11 at the end of the year.
I agree. Like, I sort of feel like we're back to the beginning days of the Whitecaps, where it's just a big question mark at this point. Like, there's been, as you said, so many changes. This is, is it just because I'm following the Whitecaps more closely? This has been one of the teams with the highest turnovers this season. And it's been kind of quiet, because it's sort of been one or two at a time. It hasn't been this wholesale departure. But this is a fundamentally different club that we're looking at this season. And we've had that before. So to me, it's just kind of like a, I don't know. I mean, of course I'm going to overanalyze and think, sure, okay, we put that person there instead of this person, and if this trade happens and this happens, but at the end of the day, I'm kind of going, maybe this is going to work out really well. The best thing that I can say for it is that we're a team that likes to run down the wings and shoot balls into the box, and we've never, ever, ever had a player in the middle of the box waiting for that ball, and now we have him, and we're already seeing what that can do. So that's promising, but I agree with so much turnover. It really, really is hard to say how this season shapes up. Is that maybe it's just too many changes too soon, and is there that chemistry there?
I think that there are some key players that are still around, and if there has been some change, at the very least, your Stefan Marinoviches of the world were around near to the end of last season.
Yep.
So there is that. I think Kai Kamara is a great center of the team in a time that where everything is changing.
Mm-hmm.
The mentality has been so key. It's been so positive. And when I'm saying that it's been hard for the Whitecaps, I don't necessarily mean it's hard in the 10 years of losing hard, because they make the playoffs every now and then. But it's hard to know where we fit.
Yeah.
In, are we a new, slick, commercial MLS team,
mm-hmm,
that is a part of the MLS, you know, 2 or 3.0 era? Or are we a team that lags behind in key business indicators?
Or are we both?
For whichever reason. The attendance is growing. They're aiming for 27,000 for the season opener. Yeah. They're taking more tarps off. They play in a football stadium that has sails over the upper deck, so you can't see it or access it, and the sound doesn't bounce off of it, and everybody is crammed into the lower bowl with tarps. Usually it has tarps, but for the season opener, they're taking the tarps off. So, like, it's growing. Growth is happening. It's just hard to know, as there's a divide in the league, what side you're on.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair assessment. If they can get the things to line up the way that they should, and the players who... I will say this, there's been a ton of turnover, but they've kept some really key pieces, and we're beginning to see the likes of, you know, Christian Teixeira knocking balls into the box to Kai Kamara. That could be a really, really lethal strike force. And I'd say for both the Whitecaps and Kamara, is if he doesn't fit here and live up to his full potential, it's not going to happen anywhere. It's the perfect system for him. Is it going to be ultimately that successful at his age currently? We'll see. I think they've added depth in a way that they haven't had before. But again, it's a new squad. At this point, I'm kind of like, you know, roll the dice. I just want to see these players play more. I want to see more Suarez, and I want to see all these guys playing together in different combinations that I feel like, in a way, I'm sort of braced for a bit of a preseason beginning of the season, of the first five matches. I just want to see how individuals are playing with other individuals. I'm not too concerned about the final result. Of course, I want to blow away Montreal in the home opener, but... You know, there's so many different factors at play. You know, we've got an untested young striker in Anthony Blondell, an untested in MLS, that is. But this is a guy that, you know, set a record for goals in his league. And, or not set a record, but was the highest scoring striker. And he's a young dude. Like, he's a kid. That could go great. Or it could mean absolutely nothing.
I think that here's the pitch that I would give, because as much as we are both Whitecaps fans, you, dear listener, may not be. And here's the pitch. Regardless of whether or not this team spans at the same level, is the more the fancier, richer teams in MLS. This is a team that always wants to try and be attacking, and it's a great, like we've said for some of these other teams, a great reset year. There are quality players on this team. The support is great. It has been a wonderful part of my life for several years. And I think it will, on balance, make you happy to be a fan of this team. And I know that the promised horizon since entering in 2011 has not yet come, but I'm still feeling, you know, happy to be here.
Absolutely.
as a Whitecaps fan.
I agree. Oh, man, we did it. That's all of them.
We did all the teams. So hopefully now you have an answer to your question. Hopefully we've answered your question if you did not know what MLS team to support. And if you weren't paying attention in the preseason, you kind of wanted to sneakily be told how all the teams are doing, we also did that to you, too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so kickoff is real soon. And so I'm gonna perhaps try to capture a few things from the Whitecaps season opener against Montreal Impact. But until then, until we debrief next week with all the match results, which have, you know, of course we know you can see the results for yourselves, but we'll break it down a little bit and obviously carry the through line of teams that did well and didn't do so well, and observations about individual performances. Until that point, you can indeed subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And even though we don't have a way of actually watching all the games yet in Canada, we will keep you up to date with all the games that are going on, and that this is an MLS-wide podcast. So we'll keep you up to date on things about that. So find us on iTunes, like and subscribe, and that stuff. But Andrew, where can we find you online?
You can find me online at Team Bates. You can also find me online at www.team-bates.com, and I'm also an editor for Howler Magazine at whatahowler.com.
Nice. And I'll be tweeting, as always, at That's So MLS, and sharing opinions there and responding to latest trade rumors.
Has it happened yet, or no, what?
Nothing yet.
Until next time, don't get traded.
Don't get traded at the 11th hour. Don't get sent off to the Red Bulls.
Yes. Awesome.